would find us on a journey of a series that we are finishing off today. So if you've got your Bible, I want you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12. Today, we are doing the last installment of this series that we've been going through. Who has found this series powerful? Just lift your hands. Well, you know, when the pastor says that, you've got no choice but to put up your hand, right? And then, because I'll start like, you didn't put up your hand? Let's talk about this. Okay, so today we are doing the last installment of this series that we've been going through. So let's read from verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, not that I have already obtained all this. So Paul was talking to the church at Philippi and telling them about his aspirations. And now he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. What was his goal? Other version says, or have already arrived at perfection. Okay? But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind says, but one thing I do. What is that one thing that you have committed yourself to doing? And Paul says, one thing that I've decided to do, forgetting about the past. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. We pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We pray for understanding. We pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us. Reveal your heart to us this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We come against every wandering mind, wandering spirit. We pray that our minds and our souls will be present today to hear what's coming from your mouth. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's talk this morning. This is the last segment of our series. So we've been talking about the breakthrough mindset. That has been the series that we've done 6 teachings on. And if you have missed them, you can catch up on our Facebook page or you can catch up on our website, gochurchpretoria.co.za. You'll find our teachings there. Now, this morning, I want to do the last segment. And I've entitled this teaching, Going Beyond Yesterday. Amen. We're talking about going beyond yesterday. As I was preparing, I thought of titling it, Let Bygones Be Bygones. When you look at yesterday and you say, yesterday is gone. What I have is today. Tomorrow belongs to no one. What we have is today, and this is what God has given us. And we are saying we need to learn to go beyond yesterday. We need to learn to say, let bygones be bygones. It is a mindset that you and I need to have if we are to apprehend kingdom breakthroughs. If we are to live up to what the kingdom has in store for us. And this morning, I want to say to you, do not underestimate the power of yesterday. Do not underestimate the power of what happened yesterday. Yesteryears. You see, yesterday happened and you cannot do anything about it. How many times are we stuck in what happened yesterday? The truth of the matter is that if you are not careful, yesterday can cage you in. Yesterday can be a prison around you. Yesterday can be a mini god to you, where you always refer to yesterday. This is what happened. I mean, think about in a marriage setting where the husband always reminds the wife, remember what you did 6 years ago. Remember what you did 16 years ago. That marriage gets stuck in yesterday. They are not able to look into the future. Just imagine being stuck at what your boss did to you 2 years ago. And the truth of the matter is, yesterday can do that to an individual. One of the reasons why some people ended up not doing mathematics at varsity, it is because they remember hearing the voice of their maths teacher in grade 4 telling them, you'll never get maths right. Yeah? And because of that, you develop this fear towards calculus, towards algebra, towards physics. Why? This person in authority told you, you'll never amount to anything. Imagine you grew up in a family where you are always reminded of how you don't look great. They always remind you of your body shape. And because of that, you've become very conscious of that. That even when the guy came into your life and really telling you great words, you take them with a pinch of salt. Yesterday happened. But also yesterday can enable you to jump into a better tomorrow where you remember the great things that you were able to do when you were younger. You remember how fearless you were jumping into those pools of water that were so dirty. You know, back in the days, we would just do things as kids. We were not afraid. It was dangerous, but we would do it. We would run with tires in the streets. And your mothers were like, hey, we'll see you when you come back. It was okay back in the days. But these days, I can't even allow my daughter to walk down the street to go buy bread. Because I don't know if she will come back. Back in the days, we would walk 7 km to go to school. Okay, maybe this is foreign talk to some of you. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's how some people grew up. We would cross rivers to go to school. Where you did not have a teacher to teach you how to swim. You learned how to swim crossing that river. Come on now. Sorry guys, it's a bit foreign to you all. You guys are born locations. You know, there's a term we used to tell guys, like, oh, this one is a born location. Does not even know anything about rural life. Okay, but what am I talking about? In the present, take note. In the present, you are caught up in between a well-known yesterday and an unknown tomorrow. That is our present. We know yesterday very well. We remember yesterday very well. But we are also looking into a future that we are not sure of. That we don't know how tomorrow will work. That is why in the book of James, the apostle James says, how can you say, tomorrow, we're going to relocate from this city. We'll go to Mtanzani. We'll buy a farm there. We'll have so many cattle on the farm. How do you know that tomorrow will work for you? How about saying, if God wills, this is what will happen. So we have a tomorrow that is uncertain, but our God is not uncertain about tomorrow. So the best place we can be in order to face a tomorrow, it is to be in the presence of the one that knows tomorrow. Glory be to God. You see, what you do, the choices you make in the now, will determine how much influence yesterday will have in your tomorrow. Right now, I can choose to hold on to stuff that happened yesterday and through that, afraid to move into tomorrow. Now, what is the breakthrough mindset we need to have concerning yesterday? Put this down. Be free from the stagnation of yesterday's victories and the emotional paralysis of yesterday's failures. Okay, that's a bit of a mouthful. We need a doctor to explain that. Is there a doctor around here? There is one. She's looking down. What are we talking about? We are saying, be free of the stagnation of yesterday's victories. Many people are still basking in yesterday's victories. We are still fixated on how we used to run 100 meters in under 10 seconds. But today, you cannot do it. Like, guys, I used to be fast in my high school days. I used to be this. I used to be running a thriving business. You settle in yesterday's success, and by so doing, you stagnate. Many people are stuck in their yesterday, and they are failing to step into tomorrow because they are taking comfort in what they were able to do yesterday. I mean, when there used to be power in the church, we would lay hands upon the sick, and the sick would get healed. What about today? Oh, back in the days, the Lord would speak to me in the middle of the night. I mean, he would wake me up and I would hear the Lord speaking to me. What about today? You see, you can get stagnant in what you achieved yesterday. And we need to be careful about that. So that is the stagnation that comes from yesterday's victory. Somebody said, your biggest enemy for your next breakthrough is your previous success. Your biggest enemy to your next breakthrough is your yesterday's success. Therefore, we cannot stand in yesterday. We need to embrace a bigger tomorrow. Glory be to God. Now, the second part of that statement says, be careful of the emotional paralysis of yesterday's failures. You can be paralyzed by the fear of failure. If you're a guy, you've proposed to a number of ladies and all of them have rejected you. Like, no. And you're like, yeah, looks like there's a calling over my life. A calling not to be married. You become afraid to propose. Okay, these are real things. We are not in heaven yet. We are here on earth, right? You've started a business a number of times and businesses have not come through. You come to a point where you're like, I'm not going to try again. You've been applying for jobs and there are rejections and rejections and rejections. You're like, no more, I'm not going to apply. So what happens is you start rejecting yourself before you are rejected. And we rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Never to give up. That is why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We've got to pray until something happens. Glory be to God. So we've got to break out of the paralysis of yesterday's failure. You see, when you failed, you are simply telling yourself, I did not do it correctly the last time. I need to do it correctly the next time. Glory be to God. Another issue, your name is not failure. Failure is an event that happened to you. It does not translate to you being failure as your identity. We've got to separate ourselves from the events of life in order for us to pursue what God has in store for us. Glory be to God. Paul says, one thing I will do, forgetting the past. Be free from the stagnation of yesterday's victories and the paralysis of yesterday's failures. Your future does not have to be determined by what happened yesterday. Your future does not have to be determined by what was going on in your family. You see, you might have grown up in a family where marriages start, but they don't thrive. They end up in divorces. You can then disqualify yourself to say, well, you know what? It happened to my mom. It happened to my aunt. It happened to my grandma. Who am I to stop this thing from happening? Well, who are you? You are a child of God. You know, I've always said to myself, I'm not going to determine how my life will work out based on what's happening to the people around me. You are an individual. The Lord created you so uniquely that you've got a unique path in your life. Glory be to God. Do not allow circumstances around you to stifle what God wants to do in you and through you. Now, let's allow the Apostle Paul to teach us one last time this morning on this issue. Now, in speaking to the church at Philippi, Paul uses a number of powerful terms in order to bring this home, in order to bring this issue that he was narrating to the church. Now, let's look at the number of terms that Paul uses as he addressed the church at Philippi from verse 12 to verse 13. So, the first thing that he says is, not that I have already attained. Not that I have already attained. You see, Paul was under no illusion of having attained the end goal. The word to attain speaks of having arrived and having received the prize. So he did not deceive himself of having finished that which God had called him to do. You see, you can only say you have arrived the moment you enter into glory. The moment you encounter the Lord in the last day. When he says, come into the glory of my Father and enjoy the pleasures of heaven. You see, it is important for you and I to realize until that day has come, we cannot say we have already attained. You see, for Paul, the ultimate prize was to appear before his Lord and to receive the heavenly rewards. And I want to say to you this morning, it's not yet time. It's not yet time to say, I have arrived. Whilst you are here on earth, I want to ask you a question. Have you attained certain goals and objectives in your life? Oh yes, let me remind you, we are halfway through the month of March 2022. How far are you from those things that you set out to do at the beginning of the year? I don't know about you, but I'm not a good writer in terms of writing goals and resolutions. But from time to time, I do write. I tend to write long-term ones. But I want to ask you this morning, are you after something? Are you pursuing after an agenda in your life? You see, if you do not have a plan, people will make a plan for you. If you don't have an agenda for the day, I will make an agenda for you. I will call you. Can you please come and help me? And because you don't have a plan for the day, you've got no reason to say no. And this is the point. You've got to be aiming for something in your life. In the life of your children, what are you aiming to see to rise up? In your life as a child of God, as a spiritual being, what are you aiming to achieve from time to time? So Paul was not in deception. He was refusing to deceive himself of living in a dream world where he pretends to have arrived. Do you know that it is possible to look it when there's nothing really going on? You know, as a pastor, you get to be in meetings where one of the most frequent asked questions is, how many people are in your church? How many people are you pulling these days? And as a pastor, you can try and project and push numbers in order to fit in. Where you start counting even the unborn children. Like, there are a couple on the way. You count everybody, you count even the kids, you're like, you double the number. What's going on here? You are living in deception. You want to appear something that you have not achieved. And Paul says, I refuse to live as if I have already attained. The reason why I'll keep on fasting, the reason why I keep on praying, it is because I am not in under deception to think I have arrived. Sometimes we don't pray because we feel we have made it. But the moment you realize you are falling short all the time, you say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. I want to attain to another dimension of your glory. Hallelujah. Do you know that, you know, I do road biking, so I cycle quite a bit. So before I went back, I took a break for about 4 years. Before I went back riding, cycling with people, I was training by myself. I've got a trainer in my house, so I was training, and I felt good. I felt like I was fit. And then I joined the guys. I joined the people. And lo and behold, I started smelling blood. I was not fit. But in my mind, I was telling myself, buddy, you can take on anyone. You are fit. You are strong. I was under deception. Until I went onto the road with everybody else, the real fitness came up and I realized I'm still falling short. And the question that I have for us this morning is, are we living under deception to think we've arrived? So that is what Paul says around this matter of having to deal with yesterday, having to deal with where you are right now. Number two, he says, not that I have arrived at perfection. Not that I have arrived at perfection. See, the main goal of Paul was to appear before Jesus, his Lord. And that is the only time he would have arrived at perfection. Now, this speaks of the progression nature of salvation. I don't know if you know that your salvation is in parts. Okay, I'll explain that. Your salvation is in parts. As we go towards perfection. Now look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, but we all, with our face having been unveiled, having beheld the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, watch this, are being changed. Other version says, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From one dimension of glory to the next. So what Paul is telling us is, the more we pay attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more we pay attention to the teachings of the Lord, we are changed more and more into his image. I become more like Christ the more time I spend in his presence, the more time I spend in reading his word, my character gets transformed. Okay? Now, I want you to realize this morning that we know in part. We worship in part. And therefore, there is more we can grow into. We can become something better every single day. Why? Because we cannot exhaust God. I can never come to a place where I say, you know what, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. What is there for me to learn? No, you'll be surprised that you can read the same scripture over and over and over, and every time you do that, you get a different understanding. Because the Lord will reveal another dimension of his glory. We speak of the multifaceted dimensions of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So when you know God in one dimension, when you go deeper, you see him differently. Why? That's the nature of God. Now, you must refuse to stay in yesterday's glory. To say it was so powerful yesterday. You bask in that. And when you look at the word, you find that that is the theme that you find in the word. Even from the Old Testament, the Bible speaks of how God came and gave them manna. The manna he gave them was fresh in the morning. And every morning there was fresh manna that heaven would release. No one was allowed to keep manna more than a day. If you would, the manna will rot. So every morning the children of Israel would go back outside. They would collect manna. The Bible says it tasted like coriander seed mixed with honey. That's how manna tasted. But, they had to learn, and Moses told them, please guys, just collect enough for the day. And then in the process, they decided, I'm going to hoard. Tomorrow there might be nothing. They hoarded a lot of them, and then they put them in their wardrobe, in the cupboard. Okay? In the morning, it looked fine. Midday, it started coming off. And by evening, it was off, and by midnight, it had maggots on it. Like what? Moses said, do not take more than what was enough for the day, so that tomorrow you can go back and be reminded that the mercies of God are new every morning. Glory be to God. And this is what I'm saying this morning. Yesterday was great, but yesterday's grace is not enough for today. Today's grace is not enough for tomorrow. I want enough for tomorrow. Therefore, you go back to the source. Look at this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, cultivate your own salvation with fear and trembling. Other version says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What is Paul talking about here? Why do I need to continue cultivating my salvation if I'm born again? Isn't that an intelligent question? Why do I need to keep on cultivating? Why do I need to work on all the time? Do I need to be reborn again, born again every single morning? No, that's not what he's talking about. You see, there are three dimensions of your salvation. The first dimension is what happens when your spirit man is regenerated. The Paul says your sins were forgiven when you received the Lord Jesus. In other words, you received the righteousness of Jesus by faith. When you confess Jesus, the Bible says you believe with your heart and with your mouth you confess unto salvation. When you do that, that first part of salvation takes place. You are a born-again child of God, heaven-going, you've got fire insurance. You're not going to hell. Yes, you're going to heaven, glory be to God. That is the first part that you have nothing to do with it. You cannot initiate it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit upon the life of an individual. When you get born again like that, you don't need to worry about going to hell if you die in the Lord. But then the second part comes in, where now Paul says, cultivate your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying you need to pay attention to your sanctification. Now this is the process that we are talking about. This is the process of improving the quality of your relationship with God. When you say to yourself, is this the way to thank God for all the good he has done for me? I'm not going to live my life like this. I want to live my life to his honor, to his glory, and to his praise. Hallelujah. There we are talking about being saved. Okay? Now, when you look at Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. So when you get born again, your spirit man is born again, but your mind is trailing behind. Your emotions, your thinking patterns, your passions, your desires, they are still in the world. They are still fleshly. You then need to go through a process where you start redeeming and pulling all of that towards God. Hallelujah. Whereby your emotions start glorifying God. Where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. That's a process of sanctification. That's a process of setting yourself apart. That's a process of saying, Lord, if you can use me for your glory. That is when you say, that might be acceptable for that person, but for what God has called me, I cannot do that. It's a process of sanctification. And that is what Paul says, I do not live as if I have arrived at perfection. Paul is saying here, I'm still in this body. I am still in this flesh. You see, your spirit man is born again, but this thing will never be born again. It remains as stubborn as a donkey. Okay, again, if you've been to rural areas, you'll know that donkeys are very stubborn. That thing will not move from the road. You'll have to be patient with it, and it walks slowly across the road. You're like, what's wrong with this guy? Okay, don't be as stubborn as a donkey. So this is the point. Paul is saying, I will not live as if I'm now perfect. He says, I acknowledge that in this world, it's a fallen world, and therefore I experience leakages in the anointing. You see, when somebody will trip you, you get angry. You lose your cool. And in the process, you trip over things. And that is where Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Nobody is perfect. When you go down on your knees, the Holy Spirit will shine light on your heart. He will remind you that you remember you said this thing out of tune. That is where we confess. So every sin that has been exposed by the light of the Holy Spirit, we confess. That's the process of sanctification. I remember having a Bible study with my kids. And they were talking about, so, Dad, does it mean that if I lie, I don't go to heaven? If I said a lie yesterday and I die, do I go to hell? Please explain this to us. I don't know, can I explain this to you? Now, I say to them, are you born again? Do you know what it means to be born again? Say, yes, I know. It's when I welcome Jesus in my heart as my Lord and personal Savior. And I say, I believe that you died for me. And you are alive today. And I said, you believe that, right? I said, yes. And that is fine. So the moment you do that and you are convinced in your heart that when that happened, you met the Lord, if you die, you go to heaven. And I said, remember, there are two thrones of judgment in heaven. There is one that is meant for the non-believers. On that day, the Bible says he will separate and he'll say, I don't know you. Your name is not found in the book of life. You go into damnation. And then those whose names were found in the book of life, they'll appear before the throne of Jesus, where now the Lord will say, let's talk. How did you live your life? So I say to them, guys, on that day, your memory will be so sharp. You'll remember every single thing that you ever did. They're like, huh? I'm like, yes. Okay? Everything that you never confessed. Because remember, when you confess, the Lord says, I'll remember your sins no more. So he's not going to ask you to account on something that he has forgiven you. Guys, that's theology 101. Let's get this right. When the Lord has forgiven you, he says, I'll separate you from east, from your sins as east is from west. Now, you say, give account. Paul says, for we shall all appear before him, and everyone shall give account for their works that they did in this body. That is when he will start giving us rewards. So I say to them, some will have multiple diamonds on the crown. Some will have no crown at all, but they will be in heaven. And you're like, ooh, that won't be good. So, saints, let's think about those things. Now we are talking about the latter salvation, when this mortality will put on immortality. Glory be to God. When this body will take on a heavenly body where it will not die no more. Three sets of salvation. So Paul says, I do not live as if I have attained perfection. So saints, none of us are perfect as long as we are clothed in this house. As long as we are in this house, we cannot be perfect. Our perfection will be attained on that day when we meet up with him in the clouds. Glory be to God. Thirdly, Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have hold of it, to have taken hold of it. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I haven't laid my hands on the trophy. I haven't laid hands on that medal. So despite Paul's great achievement, he never allowed the attitude of having arrived to rob him of the ultimate glory. You see, Paul's CV was strong. It was heavy. And yet towards his end days, he was in prison, he still says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Saints, if it is you and I, we also need to say that. that I will not live my life as if I have run the race and finished. You see, when you remove your eyes from the crown of eternal life, you will settle for less. You will say, well, I've got fire insurance, I am born again, therefore why do I need to try all of these things? But I want you to realize that when we go to heaven on that day, our Father would want to welcome us in glory and say, well done, good and faithful servant. One of the things that I've realized in our church is we no longer teach people about the coming back of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is about to come back. Are we ready for Him if He comes today? Are you ready to meet your Lord today if He calls you home? You see, when a child is born, the child cries because he is being born into this fallen world. But the parents and everybody is ululating and saying, wow, it's a baby boy, it's a baby boy, it's a baby girl, right? But the child cries when she comes out of the canal. Now, when we sign out and we die, when you die in the Lord, you celebrate. Because you're coming into the glory of your Father. But everybody else cries. Like, oh, she is gone. We will not see her no more. But on the other side, you are celebrating. Heaven is welcoming you into glory. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want you to start thinking with a perspective of eternity. How do you want to spend your eternity? God will give you a number of years here on earth to prepare for eternity. Do you think, I think it's so amazing that God will give us 80, 90 years or 50 years to prepare for eternity. That is why the Lord Jesus said, I do not have time. I need to do the work of Him that called me while it is still day. For night will come where no man is able to do any work. And this morning I'm challenging the church to start thinking in terms of eternity and say, what am I doing for my Lord? If the Lord gave you 2 talents, what are you doing with those 2 talents? If the Lord gave you 5 talents, what are you doing with those 5 talents? And what I've realized is that with the COVID pandemic, we felt like for 1.5 years we were closed in. We were in a space of confinement. We were not able to exercise what God has called us to do. But coming out of the pandemic as we are now, the danger that you and I are facing is that we are more fixated with recovering what we lost physically than with being fixated with kingdom business. We are always looking like, I need to make up for lost time. I need to make up for lost time. And in the process, things of the kingdom take a back seat. Let's talk about it. Do you think that people out there, believers, are inclined to share the gospel? We are so busy these days. I mean, me included. I am so busy. I was up today at 4 o'clock. On Saturday, I slept at, on Friday, I slept at 2 a.m. in the morning. What am I doing? Chasing business, chasing deals and doing all of these things. And you come out of it, you are so tired. And if to talk to somebody, it's like, I don't have energy to talk to this person. The point I'm driving home is this. What are we doing about the kingdom of our Father? What are we doing about the kingdom of our Father? If we call out today for an outreach, to go and preach the gospel in the streets, how many will come? Okay, that is the first question. The second question is, how many will actually give you an earring? How many will actually want to hear? The Bible says, in the last days, people shall be lovers of themselves and lovers of money. To a point where hearing about Jesus is an inconvenience. But Jesus says, go ye into the world and make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. So Jesus apprehended you for a reason and for a purpose. And today, many people live their lives as if they have finished their race. And there's a song that I like so much. There is a race that I must run. There are victories that must be won. Give me power every hour to be true. There is a race I must run. Are you still running your race today? Are you still passionate about your race today? If not, let's ask the Lord to stir up our hearts again so that we go back in our race and run. You see, it is you alone who can run that race because it is custom made. It has got your name on it. If you don't run, nobody will run it. Glory be to God. You see, the devil will not allow us to run with patience. He will put in stumbling blocks. He will give us reasons. And some of the reasons really make sense. To be honest, today when I left home, I was so tired. I'm like, wow, I am moch. Bye, I'm moch. Okay, but duty calls. There is a time in our life that duty will call. What do we do? There is a time when a demand will be placed on us. What do we do? When the Lord Jesus was facing his last moments, he was grieving. And he thought, I've got people around me who can pray with me. He went with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He left the 8 because Judas was gone already. Judas was busy plotting. He left the 8 there. He took the 3 and says, guys, come close to me. And Jesus takes another step. And he says, let's pray. He prayed and prayed. Went back and checked on the guys. The guys were sleeping. He said, guys, please, can you watch with me? Can you watch with me? He went back, prayed, Father, if it's possible, may this cup pass me by. But not my will, but by your will be done. Goes back, finds the boys asleep again. Say, guys, please wake up and pray. Father, if it is possible, Lord, if it is possible, can this cup pass me by? And he's hoping that somebody else is praying with him. He goes back the 3rd time and he finds the boys sleeping. And he says to them, go ahead and sleep. Could you not watch with me just this 1 hour? And Peter answered and said, Lord, the spirit is willing, but the body is tired. And heaven knows when our bodies are tired. When the week has been rough, we cannot take it anymore, but we can go to him who gives strength to the weak. We can go to him and say, Lord, strengthen me. Enable me. I want to continue running. Glory be to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily trips us. He distinguishes weight and sin. There are things that are not sinful, but they are weighty. In other words, they slow you down. They slow you down on your race. When you look at the guys who run, they strip to the bare minimum. Okay? So that there's no drag. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What is that weight in your life right now? The weight that draws your attention from your race. The weight that makes it heavy to carry your cross. So the writer of Hebrews, other people say it's Paul who wrote it, others say it's not Paul. But to be safe, the writer of Hebrews says, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that easily trips us. There are weights and there are sins. For instance, if my hobby is taking up every time that I have available, it's becoming a weight. If I'm not able to spend time with God in prayer because I have to be on the road every single morning, riding and riding and riding, I come back, I'm tired, I can't even concentrate on my family, it becomes a weight. If my business is taking me away from my family 24/7, and kids no longer know the face of their dead, it becomes a weight. It's not sinful. It's not a sin. I cannot come and tell you to repent, but what I can tell you, over time, it turns into a sin. When a weight overstays in your life, it transforms itself. And Paul says, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, other versions say, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this morning, seated in this place, let's ask ourselves, what is that weight? The weight can be a relationship, a friendship, that you know very well that this friendship does not take me where I want to go. I've not been able to influence this friend long enough. Maybe it's time to shave off that friendship. Let's lay aside every weight that easily entangles us. Maybe it's a type of movie that you've been watching, or a series that you've been watching. Okay, let me bring you into my life. When I get a chance, I watch Netflix. Okay, you can pray for me, but I do, okay? Sometimes I go 3 weeks without opening that thing, but when I do, I do. So I look at the ratings, right? And then I see, okay, this rating is fine. But the problem with Netflix, what they call 13 is not 13. It's 16. Or if there was 20, it will be 20. And so what has happened, if you go on my profile, you'll find a lot of unfinished movies. So I start, I'm like, hey, no, I can't. I can't watch this and then go preach tomorrow. God forbid. I stop it, right? And then I go to the next, I like action movies. I go 10 minutes. Huh? No, I can't. I go to the next 5 minutes. Ah, no, I can't. What am I doing here? It's a weight. I put aside every weight that will trip me in the process. What am I making it a gospel or a doctrine? No. What I'm simply saying, you in your life, determine and say, what is this weight? What is this thing that is causing me not to get closer to my Father? Does it make sense? So that you can run that race that has been set before you. Let's do the last one and we call it a day. Now he says, now you see these gadgets. There we go. To be honest with you, paper always works. These things, maybe I must rethink this. Okay, I'm back there. Now he says, the last thing, he says, I forget what is behind. I forget what is behind. Paul actually says, one thing I will do. So there are many things we can do, saints. And Paul says, one thing that I'll do is to forget what is behind. What is Paul talking about here? Paul was a well-accomplished man by all accounts. And what he was alluding to here was that he was not going to allow yesterday's success and failures to determine how he was going to live his future as he pursues what God has called him to do. Put this down. Do not allow yesterday's experiences to determine how you respond to God's promises for today and for tomorrow. Do you know what happens? You prayed, you fasted, you quoted scriptures concerning a matter, and the matter did not work out the way you wanted. Psychologically, you start telling yourself, hey, I'm not going to try it again. And yet the promises of God are yes and amen. Though there are many, God says he's a covenant keeper. I might not know why it did not work that time, but I'm not going to rob myself of the benefits of his promises because of what happened yesterday. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, the Bible says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall sprout. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." The Lord is about to do something new. Will you embrace the new season? You see, the future must be approached with a zeal that is born out of the nature and the character of God. He says he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, our problem is that we grew up doing things in a certain way, when there is a change of tact, we become uncomfortable. It's like a little kid. Our kids, when they were young, they had a routine. Andrew Benny's bedtime, 7 o'clock, without a doubt. 7 a.m., whether they feel like it or they don't, 7 a.m. So we trained them when they were still young. So when we would travel, by 7:30, you see the kids going. And everybody's surprised. And your kids are already sleeping. Like, routine. So when you change routine, it upsets them. They become grumpy. Okay, you'll know when you have kids one day. So when you have a kid who's got a routine and you upset the routine, the kid is uncomfortable. And this happens to a lot of us. But now listen to this. Jesus addresses it and he says, in Mark 2, verse 21, "No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, and a worse tear will result." First principle. "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. Instead, new wine is poured into new wineskins." Let me give you context. So, because sometimes we read these scriptures. The scriptures before then was somebody asking Jesus why his disciples were not fasting. Okay? And Jesus started answering, and what picture he was drawing here was that he's doing something new. You're not going to follow just tradition for the sake of tradition because it was being done yesterday. The Lord is doing something new. And therefore, do not take the old covenant and try and bring new things on top of the old covenant. Rather, when the new covenant has come, you've got to allow the new way of doing life to take its course. So when God is doing something new in our lives, we cannot use the old way of doing things. We've got to ask ourselves, "Lord, you're doing something new. How do you want me to respond? How do you want me to respond to this new season?" So we can bring the old strategy for a new vision. The old strategy will not work. We've got to say, "Lord, for this new vision, give me a blueprint that will enable me to go forward." And therefore he says, you do not put new wine, you do not put new anointing in an old vessel. And you are the vessel. The anointing is being poured out, but has the vessel renewed up to it? Is the vessel ready to take up the anointing? Somebody says, if you are not ready, the anointing will destroy you. Because the anointing will take you into dimensions where your character has not been refined enough to sustain the new dimension. Does somebody hear me this morning? I've got a couple more points there, but because of time, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to ask Brother Hillary if he can come up. This is the point that we are driving home. How are you dealing with your yesterday? Are you able to live beyond yesterday's experiences? Yesterday, you went through a journey. It was a learning. You're paying school fees. But the Lord is saying, I'm doing something new. Are you open to what God is doing? Are you open to His leading? The religious leaders missed God because they were stuck in the old ways. Jesus came with the word of liberty. They still wanted people to be imprisoned, to the extent that they wanted to kill him, because they were saying, leave us in the past. Don't shake the boat. Leave us where we used to be. It's comfortable. That's what we know. This new thing you're doing makes us uncomfortable. Let's close our eyes. I want to pray for you. My Father, my God, I thank you this morning.